From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrey. Climate change is changing the Gulf of Alaska, but in vast stretches of the ocean, a lack of data makes it hard for researchers to know how important species like salmon are handling that change. Now, two new citizen science programs will shed some light on the topic with a fleet of Southeast trawlers whose fishing boats will double as research vessels. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
Eric Brewer's life on the ocean began more than 70 years ago when his parents started taking him out on the family's trawler. At 73, Brewer still fishes out of Sitka, but he says a lot has changed in the waters of Southeast Alaska.
I was out there yesterday and seeing things that are truly dystopic. The lack of birds, the lack of fish in Salisbury Sound.
Brewer started his own operation in 1978, trolling for coho and chinook. In those days, he'd catch thousands of fish. But today, the ocean seems less abundant.
Those of us who are out there on the water, we are seeing the changes. And I'll tell you, it's pretty spooky.
In recent years, most species of Southeast salmon have had record low harvests. And the devastation still lingers from a Pacific marine heat wave known as the blob that caused massive die-offs of marine animals. Scientists expect a future with warmer oceans and more marine heat waves that could rock the ocean ecosystem in Southeast Alaska. But major data gaps make it hard for them to determine how changing conditions might threaten the health of important species like salmon. With two new citizen science programs from Alaska Sea Grant and the Alaska Troller Association, scientists will get a hand from some people who know the salmon best, Southeast Alaska's troll fishing fleet. The first project will outfit boats with sensors to measure temperature and salinity. Tyler Hennen is an oceanographer at the University of Fairbanks. He says those two measurements are the heartbeat of the ocean.
Figuring out how temperature and salinity change over time and space gives you some clues on how the water is circulating around Southeast Alaska.
Knowing how the water circulates gives scientists a better idea of how food is circulating too. For instance, mixing ocean water triggers phytoplankton blooms,
which of course is the base of the food chain and sets off the production for all the higher trophic levels and fishing and all the things that we love.
Fishermen will take measurements at different depths along their fishing routes, and over time, the data will form a baseline. That will help researchers to determine what's normal and what might be linked to climate change. And for fishermen like Jim Moore, that data could add important context to decades of observations out on the water.
People talk about, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. Well, I've been fishing 53 years. I saw that back in 1979. I saw it again in 1983. And, you know, the long-term data set is what's really valuable.
Back in the 70s, he participated in a logbook program where fishermen studied salmon populations in the Gulf of Alaska. This spring, Moore and a select group of fishermen have relaunched the program electronically. They'll record things like the species and number of salmon they're catching, where they catch them, the size of the fish, and their stomach contents.
Fishermen are natural scientists. And the trust built between management and science and the fishermen, I think, is a good thing because we're all working on it together.
Back in Sitka, Eric Brewer will be testing out the logbook program on his boat this summer. And he says, for fishermen, collaborating with scientists is a long game.
Trawlers have a long history of standing up for salmon. And we are going to do that.
Through these citizen science programs, Southeast troll fishermen can further solidify their role as environmental stewards. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Petersburg's fishing season started in full in mid-June with the opening of crab and gillnet fisheries. Early last month, the town's ministerial association gave the annual blessing of the fleet. As KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, it was a celebration of Petersburg's Norwegian cultural heritage and an expression of the community's hopes for a safe fishing season. And for some, it was a time to remember.
A brisk, salty wind blowing off the Wrangell Narrows cuts through a crowd gathered at Petersburg's Fisherman's Memorial Park. Pastor Lee Correo of Petersburg's First Baptist Church is listing off the names of the community's fishing fleet.
Dawn, Alaskan Girl, Alavia, Aleutian Dream, Aleutian Spirit, American Patriot, Angeles.
This is part of a centuries-old tradition
Arctic
intended
Dawn,
to protect sailors
Arctic
from
Fox,
the dangers of the
Aurora.
Sea. In the shelter and warmth of the nearby Sons of Norway Hall, Sally Dwyer is preparing food for the attendees. She's the president of the Sons of Norway, but she goes by a few other titles around town.
Well, I think you could call me a Petersburg social dictator or rabble-rouser. I do sign off as social dictator quite a bit because I'm kind of bossy.
Dwyer's smorgasbord includes traditional Norwegian snacks, like waffler.
I've done three different toppings. I did geitost, which is brown goat cheese. I did American cheese, which we nicely call plastic cheese because it's wrapped in plastic. And then I also did some with the sweetened butter, and I put a strawberry slice on it.
For Dwyer, the ceremony is a way to raise hope for a safe season for people who work in and around the sea.
And that includes the kids down on the dock with the life jackets and the kids in the canoes and the people in the kayaks and anybody playing on the water or making a living from the water. We want them to have a healthy, safe year.
That includes fishermen like Dylan Hatfield, who just got off the St. Peter, a seiner working out of the Bering Sea.
Well, it's just kind of just paying respects to, you know, past fishermen and friends and family and people have lost at sea or whatever. But I've definitely lost a few people over the years.
But the blessing doesn't just honor those who died at sea. Back at the ceremony, the names of all the community's fishermen who have died over the last year are read aloud.
David Jewel Marifern. Joel Lopez. Mark Stephen Lorillo.
Then Grant Trask leads the Sons of Norway choir in Hils fra meg der hjemme, which translates to a sailor's greeting in Norwegian.
Picture yourself out on a deck, either in the North Sea or in Frederick Sound, Chatham Strait, Gulf of Alaska, wherever we are. The singer is looking around and he sees a little bird flying over his boat. And he says, I'm out here. We're making a living in fishing, but we're not alone. But I miss my mother, I miss my father, I miss my little brother. So little swallow, it's your job to go back to land and greet my friends from me. So here we go in our song.
There are, indeed, swallows flying around. White and gray bank swallows dart overhead. As the proceedings wrap up, Trask wanders around the memorial park, gazing at a wall of hundreds of plaques. Each one honors the life of a person in the community. Trask says the blessing is an important part of Petersburg's cultural heritage and a time to remember lost friends.
The immigrant story continues here in our little town of Petersburg, but as it continues, it's important to keep in mind for those who came before us. And their names are out here at our Fisherman's Memorial Park. Stop in and say hello.
Are you saying hello to anybody today?
I've been saying hello to several people who I can hear their voices, I can see their faces, and I can remember their character. And sometimes they've been skippers of mine or else colleagues on the fishing fleet. It's a sweet sentiment when I go and visit and remember a lot of people that have been part of my past.
As the crowd pours into the Sons of Norway Hall for food and conversation, a few people hang back. They toss a wreath of flowers into the water in remembrance of loved ones who have gone out of Petersburg's harbors, never to return. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And Alaska State Troopers say the body of an Alaska Native woman was found on the Yukon River Tuesday. She has not yet been identified. But about 100 miles upriver from where the body was found, Kimberly Fitka O'Daman's family has been searching for her since she went missing on the Yukon River village of Marshall on June 15th. Prairie Rose, an advocate from Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA, who has been working with the family, says they believe it may be her. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel wrote in an email that the woman's body is being sent to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy and to be identified. And the state regulators are proposing a $900,000 fine to punish ConocoPhillips for a gas leak last year at its Alpine drilling site on the North Slope. The oil company is drilling a well in March of 2022 when workers noticed gas emissions hundreds of feet away, including from fractures in the surface of the gravel drill pad. a concrete barrier intended to contain well pressure had cracked. The Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission later determined that Conoco had underestimated the gas production potential of one zone the well went through. A company spokeswoman says Conoco is reviewing the investigative findings and proposed fine. You're listening to KTOO.